And that's how it started, and then we had another show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We've got another great adventure of a show for you today. Lots of things we put together. Some stuff about fucking nature. A breakfast emergency that I was not aware of that I've been made aware of. And some other crazy stuff going on. So stay tuned. So when we left you last time, I was still ill, and at this point, I am still not well. I have not recovered from my illness, nor will I ever. This is me now, I'm afraid. This is just who I am. There's no such thing as a healthy version of me. It's just this sick guy who schleps through his life in misery. But thanks for listening again. Welcome back. I mean, I'm almost good, I think. It's hard to say. It's really hard to say. I did discover that I think NyQuil causes me night sweats. I think the NyQuil seemed to be the uniting factor in the times that I did sweat or did not sweat. Seemed to have a lot to do with whether or not I was wearing NyQuil. Wearing NyQuil. Oh, God. Whether or not I was experiencing a NyQuil time seemed to be the main factor. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ever going to get over this convalescence. This might be it. This might be the slow decline to my ultimate doom. You may be hearing not so much a radio show as a manifesto. That's what you write before you die on your deathbed. What's the difference between a manifesto and just a really crazy novel? That's what I want to know. Because I think I'm more interested in somehow having my work called a manifesto. It seems to be, if you kill someone, any works of writing you do after that will be considered a manifesto, right? Or you know, crazy watercolors of clowns like John Wayne Gacy. That's a manifesto now. Because you killed the kids. You can't go back after you kill kids. There's just no returning from that abyss. I got further advice on things I could do. Someone said to eat garlic. But the more I hear other people's advice, I just don't think that we're dealing with the same systems. You know, this person said, eat some garlic cloves. And I said, all right, I'll try. I'll try anything. I will shove garlic in my ass and my nose and my mouth and a tiny sliver down the urethra if that's what it takes. Not much could be worse than this. Some things could be worse. Possibly shoving a garlic spear in my urethra might be on the list. I don't know. And I don't know. I'd have to be sure I was peeing it out. That seems to be a big issue. You know, like when your baby, your little toddler or something eats a penny and they say, well, just make sure it comes out in his shit. Do you really have to make sure, or do you just kind of wait for a couple weeks and figure, well, it either came out or it ain't coming out and it's fine. The kid's fine. He seems to be eating candy and doing whatever else kids do. With no bad effect. I think he's doing great. As great as a toddler can do. I mean, the greatest toddler in the world, what's he done? Eaten an entire nerd's rope without vomiting later that night? Good for them. But so yeah, they'd say, oh, I ate this garlic and then I felt better. Or I ate the garlic right when I was feeling sick and drank a bunch of water. And the cold usually lasts 4 days and lasts 2 days. I'm on day 20 or some of cold. So for me to say, oh, well, maybe I'd go from 20 days and reduce by 2 days to 18, if the reduction is in days and not percentage, it's just not working. In this discussion, we were also talking about pornography. I guess there was some issue where someone was trying to make a law, or they've made a law where people have to wear condoms in porn. I don't know exactly what the status is. I'm not really an expert on porn law. Seems like a good industry to get into. Porn-related law. I don't know if this is true. This may be how I also feel about being a cosmonaut, which is that it seems great. Porn law seems great. Seems like a lot of stuff to do. You wouldn't be bored in porn law. And at the same time, I think I'd rather be in porn law than, you know, murder law or whatever. Law and order law. Oh, you found a stabbed bum by a dumpster. Well, I guess we better prosecute this other crazy person. Hooray. So we were talking about that. I guess there was a problem because people in the industry didn't want that law, which I thought was a little strange because honestly, I don't think that in watching porn, the appearance of a condom would make me go, ah, Christ. Well, that's not very realistic. The illusion that I've created of this being a guy who obviously looks 45 and is apparently living with his mom and has his friend over who looks like he's also about 45. And then the guy who lives there with his mom goes to do some errand and then the mom fucks the friend. This illusion has been totally ruined. And the mom is also dressed like, well, a mom in a scenario where she's going to have sex with a friend. I'd like to know, A, if this has ever happened to anyone. If they've ever fucked their mom, their friend's mom. I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but it's got to be rare. And second of all, if it was real porny or real not porny, I have a feeling it'd be real not porny. And when you told people about it, it would be much sadder than we would think based on what we've been taught to expect by porn. Right? It would not be, oh my God, she was real attractive in a porny sort of way. She was making the moves on me. And then when her son left, bam, would be more like, I don't know. She just seemed real sad. And I seemed real sad too, now that I look back on it and didn't really know what I was doing. She was unsatisfied. I was unsatisfied emotionally. And it only happened once and for good reason. At first I was worried, oh my God, now what are we going to do? But then I realized, no, this is the end of it. This one time. It was a one-time thing. And that's a good thing in that it wasn't more than one, but a bad thing in that it was one. We should have had it a none-time thing instead of a one-time thing. I don't even like to use words like a fling. It was not a fling. There was no activity that made it seem flingy or that it would fit into that. It was just awful. So anyway, I don't think the condom in the porn is what would kill it. But I came up with this great idea, which is chroma key condoms. So you know when they film in a green screen, like the weatherman stands in front of a green screen, and if he's an idiot and wears a green shirt or something, it looks like the world is coming straight through his chest. Which, by the way, why doesn't he just wear a green suit, and then he'll be like rubbing his chest and like, see this area? There's going to be a heat wave, ladies. You know, something like that. The news could be a lot more fun. I feel like they just tell you the things that happened, and they've gotten away from saying, Well, we could do more. I mean, we could tell them the stuff in a way that's not so boring. But they gave up. They're like, I don't know, we'll just be for old weird people to watch who want to know every little detail about every goddamn storm that happens this winter. Good for us. Look how informed we are. So you make a condom that's chroma key green, and you wear that. Because then what you do is you have the condom sex, and then you just film the guy's penis at a bunch of different angles, and then you just slap that right in on top of the chroma key. Done. And you create a real weird office where people are just graphic designers all day, or just replacing these green condoms with penises. Not the best job in the world, but it could be a lot worse. And, you know, you're doing something for public health while graphic designing. Not a lot of people can say that. It seems like an easy... Here's what pissed me off about this solution. We were just talking, me and this friend, for 10 minutes, and we solved the problem. So, I mean, I feel like they haven't really tried that hard. If idiots can solve it in 10 minutes in a way that seems to make sense, how come people who actually care and stand to profit from this cannot? She also had the idea, you know, of doing like a garlic or flavors along, you know, lime and stuff like that, citrus. And I was thinking, maybe a garlic condom for when you're sick. Because I'd be willing to try it. Putting on a garlic condom, it doesn't sound very pleasant. A garlic-infused condom. But, again, I'm desperate. I will try anything. And, you know, I could think of worse things to try than have sex with somebody with a garlic condom. I mean, the garlic condom part, again, is horrific. But I've done... God knows that worse things have happened to me. And that I would try... I mean... When you're considering the next time you get a cold, maybe just shooting yourself with a bullet in the face rather than have 18 weeks of a cold. Basically, every cold for me is like a semester class. I learn a little bit, come out changed and weaker and with lower tolerance for everything and all people. So if that's how far... You'd think in your dark times, how bad would it be to do garlic condom? Then I suggested, okay, you have a flavor pack, right? Now, do we remember they had for a while these Harry Potter jelly beans? I believe this came from the book. I was trying to remember just today, actually, how much of Harry Potter I know. I read the first 5 books because in a sweepingly complicated situation... My high school girlfriend's mom gave them to me when I was like 22, and we'd been broken up for 4 years. She gave them to me in hardcover for my children. This is true. So I read them. And then the movies, I've seen the first one that has a giant spider in it, but only really the part with the giant spider. And one of the later ones, which I saw at the drive-in and did not know what was going on. But I was there with my girlfriend, and she was really enjoying it. And I did not want to bother her with, who's that guy? Who's that lady? What's going on? These are the basic questions. It's really disheartening when you're at a movie with somebody. I've experienced this from both angles. You know, I'll ask, who's that guy? And it's, oh, that's Mad-Eye Moody. He's a professor at Hogwarts. Oh, okay. And who's that guy? That's Remus Lupin. He's werewolf or something. Oh, okay. And what's going on? Which is, you should just ask that question first. Because the what's going on makes it clear that A, you don't know what's going on, and B, knowing what you know now about these characters did not help you in any way. So I don't know a lot about Harry Potter. But I'm fairly certain they had these jelly beans in the books. And what it was jelly beans with flavors. And then every fifth one or something was some crazy flavor. Not necessarily. I mean, some of them were gross, like snot, and then there was one that's salt and pepper, which maybe shouldn't be gross, but is definitely gross. There was one that was flavored like grass that was eerily accurate. Made me convinced that they could make any flavor, which makes me ask the question, why don't they make power bars taste like cheeseburgers? And not a cheeseburger-flavored power bar. I mean, why don't they just make it taste exactly like a cheeseburger? I would never know. I would be fine with that. Why don't they make carrots that taste like fries? I mean, we could have regular carrots, too. I'm just saying, I feel like it'd be easier to get kids to eat fry carrots if they taste like fries, or at least to convince them, hey, you like fries, this is the same shit. Or can't we infuse fries with the goodness of carrots? The science in food, I don't know. This is the downside of the organic food movement. I feel like the mad science was going the wrong way and trying to make all food cheap instead of I'd like science to make food wacky. Fun wacky, not weird compounds creating into horrible candy or something like that. I mean, a hot dog that inside has a built-in pepperoni stick. Something like that. So here was the idea with the condoms. You have the flavored condoms, right? You get 5 in a pack. You add a bonus 6th condom, but it's one that's got a horrible flavor. So you don't know which one it is. They all come packaged the same, and it's kind of a surprise which one's the bad flavor. This might be bad, but maybe this would be good. Maybe this would be like a nice thing for couples to share in a way. Something to talk about. Break the ice a little bit. Oh, I got this 6-pack. On the other hand, and it would work from a business angle because maybe people would get them and then just open them until they got the gross one and then toss it out. But it could be fun. They come with a little flavor chart. Oh my God. Or maybe even one in every 20 is a gross one. So you could buy it 3 times and still not run into one, but probably that 4th time. If you've gone 3 times without getting the one that's flavored like, defeat? Is that what we could call it? Agony? Let's just say it's flavored like old end of a battery. And you've gone 3 times, 18 condoms you've worked through. Must be nice to have sex 18 times in a row, 18 times in as many months or years. You work through all those, all of a sudden, seems likely that you're going to end up with one of the gross ones. I don't know. Just some ways to have fun. Just some ways to change our love life. We're also out talking about this at a bar, and this other guy, so my friend knew this guy, sort of vaguely, from work, and he came and started talking, and I didn't really realize it, but it's been a long time since I've sort of been entrapped into talking with someone really weird. Or someone who was trying and it was hard. This used to happen a lot, I guess. Maybe in school or because I don't know, maybe you go to parties and that's where you end up talking to or often I was that guy, so maybe that's why it's been a long time. Maybe I still am, and that's why I'm like, what happened to those guys? Oh, I became them. They're me. It's like when I'm at the gymnasium and I look around at 9:45 and say, how come it's me and then all weird old men? And then you inevitably think, maybe it's just all weird old men. Why are you separate from this category, Mr. High and Mighty, all of a sudden? Oh, God. So the guy comes up and he's talking to us And he kind of just starts off, you know, she introduces me. Oh, yeah, we went to high school together or whatever. And he says, oh, yeah. So did you know this girl? There's this girl who went to our high school who was hiking in Nepal and just disappeared. This has been years ago now. And so it's kind of a, I guess, a topic, whatever. It's made extra uncomfortable because of the fact that I don't want to just trash somebody here, but before she left, I think that most of the people I knew did not have a super high opinion of this person. And then when something horrible happens to them, what do you say? You don't want to be like, oh, what a horrible person. You just, I don't know, you have to go with it, right? So anyway, this guy comes up to us. She says, oh, we knew each other in high school. And he says, oh, did you know her? And I said, I mean, I knew who she was, but I didn't know her. He's like, yeah, they had a story about her. I think she probably either got sick and died or got injured and died. Okay. You know, she disappeared and it's speculated what happened and there's a lot of rumors of human trafficking and whatnot. But he kind of just came up, asked if we knew her. We said sort of, and then he speculated on the fact that she probably died in one of two horrific ways. And, this was his opening gambit. We had not been talking. I didn't actually know the guy's name yet. Very strange. I mean, probably not the best topic, right? Right off the bat. I mean, maybe he was testing us. Maybe he's thinking, I don't know, are these people cool? Can I just talk about whatever, or are they all uptight? We're going to find out. I'll just make with a crazy question and see what happens. But, yeah, didn't work for me. I don't know if it worked for him. I don't know if he got what he wanted in a, yeah, I don't really know. That's all. What can I say? All I could say was, I don't really know about, because I don't really know her. And I don't really care to speculate on the gruesome death of a young woman abroad. I mean, anything could a young woman out on her own. Not a young woman, abroad. A lady. Some woman, female human, not that broad, abroad, all one word, abroad. Anyway, it was very strange, very, very strange. And he proceeded to talk to us for quite some time. I don't know, there needs to be some kind of universal signal of, all right, well, we're going to, the problem was we're seated at the bar and this guy is standing behind us. So what do? You can't really escape. We're having a nice drink, nice slow drink, and he's just there. What can you do? You can't be like, all right, well, hey, how about you fuck off? I don't know. I'm not really talking to you. I don't know. He's a nice enough guy and everything, but weird and difficult. Yeah. Here's the thing. For me, it's hard enough to go out and just meet up with a friend. This is not an activity that I easily engage in. I'm not a social butterfly who is doing a Jim Carrey yes man and just saying, you know what, man, any invitation I get, I'm going. I probably say yes to 1 out of 5 things in general, especially when it comes to sort of social shit. So when it comes to this and I say, all right, I'm going, and then the weird thing happens, the sort of thing that I fear that's going to happen happens where it's uncomfortable and strange. What can you do? What am I going to do? I'm trapped. And my friend can't just tell him to fuck off because he's sort of like a client of hers. This sounds shady, like I'm out with a prostitute or something, which I'm not. I wish I had if I had a friend who was a prostitute, she would have been on this show a long time ago because I have 1 million questions for a prostitute. One of them would definitely be about the realisticness of a chroma key condom. Be a good thing, too, you know, if you were worried that your husband or your boyfriend was trying to make a secret sex tape, pulls out that chroma key condom, you go, what the fuck? You know, these things are $40 a piece because Pete has the rights to them. Anyway, it was everything I don't miss about trying to make friends with people that you don't even want to be friends. You know how this would happen? You'd go to a party. There's eight people there. They're okay. But not a one of them are you thinking, this guy I might be friends with. Every single person there, you're just thinking, I mean, I could tolerate this person certainly for the rest of the evening. And at that point, we can separate ways, worlds apart. That's kind of what happened. This is how I'm spending. I tried to do normal activities on my days off of work here and failed miserably. I went to go look at jeans today. Has anyone tried to buy jeans, men, lately? I learned some facts about jeans and wanted to try and apply those facts. For example, you should try your jeans on in the store. Fact one, jeans don't come in size Peter. They come in crazy numbered sizes. So I went to our little outlet zone, because I didn't even know, really, if you're a man and you're saying, I think I'm ready to step up my jeans game. I'm ready to take my jeans game from the old Navy level, let's say, to the next stage. What is the next stage? I don't really know. I know when I'm above it. That I found out today. I know when I'm looking at jeans that are outside of my realms. And I know when I'm looking at jeans that are in my realms. I don't know how to identify jeans that are a step up without being something that's meant to be worn. If I was going to wear some kind of crazy outfit with like a short sleeve button-up shirt and a tie and get put on some crazy blog of like, people of this town that you're in, look how they dress, very dapper. Not the kind of jeans I'm looking for. Looking for the kind of jeans that don't make people say, I don't understand the shape of this man's body based on what I'm seeing through jean. So I start at Macy's. Not even sure if this is a men's clothing store. Barely made it past the front door because I felt like I was being maced. When you walk into this store, it's like a perfume counter encounter. You cannot escape the... I swear to Christ, it's almost like there was an altercation and a cop had to mace somebody and then they left. And then they lightly spritzed perfume to try and cover up the mace. Because my eyes just start watering and I get disoriented immediately. They really need a separate entrance in stores for men, I think. Because I'm not... There's nothing... They don't even approach me at these counters, the jewelry or the perfume, because they can immediately tell I have no interest in them. I'll waste their time. They'll waste my time. Neither of us are going to be happy. What do I look like? Oh, he's probably got a girlfriend to buy these things for. Please, give it a rest. Go up the escalator. This is another Macy's trick. You have to go. I don't think there's a staircase in there. I don't know. I don't know what happens in an emergency. The stairs fold down and turns into a slide. You just escape via slide. Because I guess maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe the fire marshal says, fuck it. If this place goes up, this perfume cloud is just going to fucking explode and blow the doors off anyway. If you survive the initial backdraft, you'll be fine. But ain't nobody surviving that backdraft. I'll tell you that. I've been fighting fires for 30 years. Nobody survives. You'll just be fucking bones. Laying there looking at a 25% off shirt. So everything there was terrible. They don't really have... They have more kitchen appliances than men's clothes. First of all, which I don't understand. Who's going to Macy's for kitchen supplies? Why would you do that? There's so many other stores that sell these things. I don't understand. Why am I buying a Ninja blender at Macy's? That's insane. That's pointless. The only thing I could see doing there is buying that blender, because then you could put like a fucking dress shoe in there and just test it out. Just for the convenience, because you're an eccentric millionaire who would shop and do it that way. It's a horrid store. And these stores are bad because the people who work there really involved in what you're there. What are you doing there? They don't ask it that way, but that's the impression you get. So what are you doing here? It's hard for me because my answer is I don't really know. I thought I was going to look at jeans, but there are weird jeans here that they have crazy names like level out or something like that. Or, you know, everything seems to be nautically themed. Like, a lot of these clothes seem to be themed towards hobbies that I would never have. Sailboating, poloing, alligator shit. Not gator hunting, but living somewhere where a gator lives nearby and just being fine with that. Golfing. Fishing off of a boat in the deep sea where you're strapped into a chair and you wrestle a giant marlin on board. These are the things that I don't think I'll ever do. And if I do, I don't know why I'm doing them. Just know now that I'm saying, if I'm ever doing these things, I don't know what happened. I don't know why. Don't ask me. So I leave that store and go to a store called The Gap. Now, this seemed to be closer. This is probably the closest I got. But being me, I went in this Gap, looked at pants, said, all right, maybe. This is a possibility, I guess, and I moved on. I don't have the guts to go in the store twice. I realized I have only enough tolerance for shopping to go into each store one time, which is a severe handicap. By the time I was leaving, I was thinking, those seemed the most reasonable in terms of what I was looking for. Still having not tried anything on. Also, I was probably a little biased towards it because I think it was one of the few where they did not have super loud music playing the minute I went in the store, which I like to wear a single iPod headphone when I'm in the stores because I feel like that helps send the message of leave me alone. And then I could listen to my own comforting music and be like, it's cool, man. This is your comfort zone. It's all right. You don't have to freak out because you're in a store where the people who are in the store are dressed even nicer than what's in the store in order to sell the things in this store. Then I went to Eddie Bauer, which I guess is like clothes for business camping, as far as I could tell. I did not really know what was in there, but what you'll find is button-up shirts that have a mesh wicking fabric lining inside. What scenario these are for, I have no fucking idea. I really don't know. You're a river guide accountant. You're like the accountant for the whitewater rafting firm. So you need to wear something button up, but at the same time, you may need to get on the river at a moment's notice. I have no fucking idea what these are for or who they're for. I guess maybe sweaty business guys. Sweaty business guys who have like a 3-day beard. Something like, I don't know. You're the rich son of a guy who owns a lumber mill and you're going to business school. This is how you dress because it's your roots. I was very baffled. Not only was I baffled by the clothing, I was baffled by the staff because the woman came up to me and first she says, can I help you find anything? And I say, oh no, I'm just kind of looking. And she said, okay, well, just to let you know, all of our registers are down. So if you find something quickly, I won't be able to sell it to you. Okay. So, and then she said, yeah, sorry about that. It was a very weird thing to say. I don't know why. I think if I worked there, I'd probably just risk it. I'd say, wait till they come up to the register and then just pretend like it just went down instead of telling everyone now. Because then I could say, let me hold this for you behind the counter. You go have a gelato or something, come back. It's going to be waiting for you, and I'll have folded it like you won't believe. You'll never be able to fold it the way I've folded it, this retail fold. Sometimes I think I should get another retail job just to learn fast, good folding. I also think I need to get some different racks. I need to get racks for my clothes. Basically, what I'd like to do is get a house and turn the basement into the Target men's section. I have all the pants in little cubbies, shirts all hanging, pajamas folded on this part. Clearance is like my shittiest clothes. That's where like the gym clothes and stuff go. Every time I do laundry, I reseal the underpants into 4 packs, plastic bags, and put them away. It just seems so full of possibilities. Then when you get it home and the new shirt's mingled amongst your crap, it just doesn't have the same glow to it anymore. So I didn't buy anything there because it was physically impossible, and also I didn't understand. That was the worst one. Then I went to a little store called American Eagle. This is a store that is American and Eagle. Do other countries have eagles? They must. I guess there's an eagle on Mexico's flag, which is kind of hilarious, really. I mean, you know, the ultimate symbol. If there's ever been a symbol of American pride, it's the eagle, and then they throw it on their flag, and they're the people who piss off the America people the most. That's a real fuck you right there. Doesn't the Nazi stuff have an eagle on it too? I wonder if that was on purpose just to piss us off too. Hitler's like, let's fucking throw an eagle on here. I never even seen an eagle. I don't really care for birds myself, but fuck it. They didn't put it on their flag. And as Germany, we have sort of a flag and a logo at this time. It's a pretty lucky time for us in a lot of ways. A lot of hard things, too. Don't get me wrong. But we could co-opt this eagle. Anyway, so in this store, I find that... which is disturbing is that basically... There were 2 kinds of jeans. There were normal cuts, which I liked. However, they all have this weird thing going on where they're painted and it sort of looks like my crotch has a mustache or whiskers. You know what I'm talking about? They're like little spokes of different colored jean coming out from my groin. I think it's supposed to mimic sort of worn jeans. Which I don't need. That's an extra layer of work they're doing that I'm really not making good use of, because believe me, if I like a pair of jeans, I will wear them until that happens. And that's usually not even the first thing that happens. I was wearing a pair of jeans that had a hole in the crotch and both back pockets. One back pocket was all whole. The heels, the cuffs were all worn out. Everything was fucked. These jeans were fucked out, man. I wore them. I only recently got rid of them just because I can't wear them anymore. You cannot wear jeans that are all holes. At some point, your jeans become so worn out that they are worse than sweatpants that are not worn out. And since I owned sweatpants that were not worn out, I just had to say, all right. See you later, jeans. So I could buy the cuts of jeans that I liked, which all had these whiskers, or skinny jeans, or straight, slim fit is what they're calling these. Slim. Which is confusing to me, because I consider myself a fairly slim gentleman. And I guess what they mean by that is it fits a slim man uncomfortably. Have you ever tried on women's pants? Have you ever put on a pair of women's trousers? I have. I have done this at least once. I tried on a girlfriend's pants, her jeans, because I said, what's going on with these jeans? They seem different. And I put them on and they are different, my friends. They're tight in all areas. I don't know. It's a good thing that girls don't have balls and penises, because there's nowhere for them to live in those jeans. You have to fold it up into the waistband so it's poking, and your penis is looking you right in the eye all day. That's the only way you could walk around with women's jeans on. I mean, assuming you could do it morally and emotionally, physically, that's what would be required. I don't know. I don't even know where the balls would go. I don't know. There's nowhere for them to go. There's nowhere for them to hide. You'd have to hope that your balls were long enough to go, well, you can't put them in. They're tight in the ass. They're tight in the crotch. They're tight in the saddle. They're tight. If you could split them away, one towards each pocket, maybe. But I don't know. I mean, women's jeans, you can't even get like a goddamn highlighter in the pockets. This is what slim fit jeans are. They are women's pants. I'm 90% sure that we're trying on a style of women's pants that just didn't fly. And they said, just fucking change the size on them and say they're men's pants. I don't know who started this tight pants thing for men, but I'm upset. And I'm upset because I can't get men's pants that are a normal style, no mustaches, no whiskers, but aren't tight. Because tight is the trend. I went to one more store, Express, for men. I'm told you don't have to say for men, but I just say it anyway. That was probably the worst. Crazy music. The people who worked there wearing those headset microphones. And just god awful. I looked around for about 2 minutes. There was one other guy picking out clothes in there, and he had an armful of clothes he was taking, and he was wearing bright orange sneakers. And I said, okay. Well, if this is the clothes that he's getting, I'm not getting them. And I left. That was enough for me. If Express for men, I feared looking the way I did today that I would look shabby and shitty going into these stores, and that I'd look desperately in need of jeans. But I was buying jeans. It's kind of like for me when you see a fat guy at the gym on the treadmill. You could make fun of him, but you can also say, well, what am I making fun of this guy for? He's a fat guy at the gym. He's doing the gym. That seems fine. That's appropriate. I cannot mock him both for being fat and for trying to not be fat. I mean, I can. I would, but I won't. So that's how I felt about me dressing shabby. Yes, I could be mocked for my shabby style. However, I'm working to improve it. So can we mock me for both my grasping and my not grasping? I don't know. My not grasping yet reaching. But once I saw this guy, I said, well, first of all, I'm sure that I look better than that. I mean, these shoes were like the kind of shoes that you could just put around an open sewer to make sure no one fell in. And you would not, because A, you would notice the open sewer, and B, you wouldn't want to be close to these shoes. I would not want to put those on, let alone be near them. I think I did that backwards, didn't I? Fuck it. I can't imagine. It would be a nightmare to me to go somewhere. I'm not a fashion guy, but I show up at through the airport and they confiscated my shoes because for whatever reason they do shit like that. And I have to just wear some loner shoes. And they're like, well, we have these bright orange fucking Nikes. Or we have these cute little woman's heels. I'd be like, well, I guess I'll wear the heels then. Why not live a day in that world? See what happens. I don't know. Maybe I'll look good. Maybe I'll walk in these heels all day, discover it's not so bad, and then say, hey, I walked through goddamn all of LaGuardia Airport there. Fine. So let's calm down. Or I could tell this story whenever there's a shoe problem. Either way, it's win-win. So in long, I got no pants or shorts. I still refuse to wear shorts. I was trying to look for also sweaters on clearance. Because those of you that know me know I like to wear a sweater year-round. I got a great survey from the National Parks. The National Parks Conservation Association sent me this thing in the mail. And it was a survey, and then they also sent a sticker, and then there's an offer to get some kind of free free bag that's not really free. It's like, oh yeah, you'll get this free fucking bag if you go ahead and donate $25. So it's a gift you get for donating $25. I mean, it's funny when they do that, because I say, what if I said, okay, for your birthday, I'm going to get you a $25 gift card to this restaurant if you give me $25. How is that a gift? You don't even get, you're better off just picking what you want for the $25. But here's the letter. It has a 2-page letter, front and back, very wordy, from Clark Bunting, president and CEO of the National Parks Conservation Association. You may never have another chance like this one. If you want America's national park system to survive for your children and grandchildren to enjoy, please complete and return the enclosed national survey immediately. Now, first of all, I don't have children or grandchildren. And if I did, I would want them to live in horror. So far you're not doing well. I also don't like, there's a little box with that intro, and then the letter starts. Dear friend, this font appears to be Courier New, which is an odd choice. If you visited a national park recently, I have not, then some of the things you are about to read may not surprise you! This next part is underlined and italicized. Our country's national park system, the first and finest in the world, is in dire straits right now. Not hosting dire straits for a concert, but in them. Some of this is bolded. Yellowstone, Great Smoky Mountains, Grand Canyon, Valley Forge, Everglades, Mount Rainier. This just sounds like we're naming places now. Roswell, Las Vegas. Come on and raise up. These and other American treasures of wilderness and history face air and water pollution, commercial development, motorized disruption and destruction, and other serious threats. Underline, and the failure of Congress to provide adequate funding for our parks is putting these precious places at even greater risk. That's why I'm asking you to participate in this survey, answer some questions, join us as a member. Let's see, backside. Oh, here's some things they did. Joshua Tree album. We cannot rest on our laurels now. Bold. Budget cuts. Okay. So let's get to the survey, because I think this is the important questions that we need to answer. So here we go. Instructions. After you've read the enclosed letter, please indicate your answers with a check mark in the appropriate box. Then return this form. We've made our best effort to avoid duplication of mailing to members of our 3-page letter, which is probably horrible for the environment. Question 1. Have you visited a national park within the last 2 years? Yes or no? I mean, I'm pretty sure I have. I don't know if our rafting expeditions happen in a national park. I feel like I'm too drunk to be in it. At some point, maybe there is a national park surrounding my body, but I am not there. Is that like a write-in answer? 2. I value our national parks for, please check all that apply. Scenic beauty, check. Cultural significance, I'm doing no check there. Historic importance, absolutely not. Tranquility, I guess so. I don't know. The last time I slept in a tent, there were a bunch of toads making all this kind of noise. Educational or recreational opportunities? Absolutely not. 3. When you look 25 years into the future, do you think the condition of our national parks will be the same as today, better or worse? 25 years into the future. So I'll be 55. Jesus Christ. I mean, it really can't be better, can it? Could it be better? How would that possibly happen? Maybe if I donated $25, they'd be like, we buy his seeds. Is that what they do with the $25? Buy some fucking seeds? 4. How important is it to you that your children and grandchildren have an opportunity to experience national resources, history, and culture that are preserved in our national parks? Not important, somewhat, or extremely. I mean, yes, not important. I do not have them. I could check that one and do a write-in as well. No kids or grandkids. Frown face. Very lonely. I mean, that's the thing. I get my tranquility just by going home and there's no kids there or grandkids. 5. Competing federal budget priorities and an economic recession have not allowed the national parks to be funded to the extent needed. What alternative forms of funding would you accept? A voluntary contribution via my income tax return. I mean, that's fine. Does that actually work? They always have that thing. Here's all the wacky charities. How do I get on there? How do I put this radio show on there? Radio Broadcasting for the Arts Fund. Check this box. Fuck the Special Olympics. How about that? Special funding bill before Congress. Yeah, whatever. Increased fees at the parks. I mean, that seems fine. I don't know. How much does it cost to go in the national park? I have no idea. The last time I drove into one and had to pay the fee, I was blown away because I think it was my first adult time going to a national park on purpose. And I was thinking, what the fuck? You got to pay for this? Are you kidding me? To drive through this area? Can't we pay when we leave based on what we did? Can't this be like a Chuck E. Cheese? You don't pay $40 when you go inside. You go inside for free and then kind of mill around. And then depending how much skee ball you actually play, then you pay. In voluntary contributions solicited inside the parks. Oh, my God. So I'd be on an old hiking trail looking at a beaver house. This guy comes up and says, excuse me, sir, do you have a minute to save this beaver's house? That would be effective. You go up a hiking trail. The ranger's standing there with a chainsaw, and he says, if we don't raise $50 today, I got to cut this mother down. This is the threat. They have like a bear in a cage. He's got a handgun. If I don't raise $400 today, this bear is going to become a rug that we sell for $400. We're going to start doing that. I wonder if the national parks will ever get desperate. You know, you get desperate at some point in your life. You're low on monies. You start thinking maybe I could sell some shit, some DVDs. I got all the seasons of The Office on DVD. Bundle those together, sell them for $50. That's an easy fitty. Maybe the national parks will start saying, oh man, we could sell some of these fucking animals. We got a weird rock. I bet some guy with a crazy house in the Southwest would love a weird rock like this. And he could start doing some of that. 6. Serious budget shortfalls have resulted in reductions in park staff, including national park rangers. During the busiest times of the year, some park visitors may never see a park ranger at all. How important do you think the park rangers are to the experience that visitors have in national parks? I don't know that I've ever had any dealings with a park ranger, but I don't think I would enjoy them. I would think a park ranger, at best, would just walk by and say, all right, this looks cool. But I feel like a park ranger would, you know, criticize how I'd set up my tent or something. Oh, yeah, you should face it south so you get the sun more and it stays warmer. Or not south because it's fucking hot. Or would say, oh, well, you got it a slight upslope here, so you're going to want whatever. I just feel that way. I mean, that's my own inadequacy, but so fucking be it. I feel like that would happen. So I'm fine with them not being there. Would you be willing to park your car and use mass transit, light rail, environmentally friendly bus, if it kept the parks cleaner and ease the burden of overcrowding? I guess so. I don't know. This makes me sound like an ugly American, but that sounds awful to me. It's not very wildernessy. It does not appeal to my sense of wonder in the wilderness. And also, what do? You come back from backpacking and you just wait for a goddamn bus to come? And basically then you're on, I mean, it would be quickly like a city bus because it's all these bums of the woods instead of bums of the city. I wonder if bums could start living in the woods if they had a bus. That seems to be what bums like. If you look at the concentration of bums, it's wherever there's the most mass transit, right? The big cities, your New Yorks, your Chicagos, that kind of shit. Bums love buses. 8. The air quality in Great Smoky Mountain, Sequoia, Kings Canyon, and other national parks is diminished to the point where on some days it can be dangerous for humans to breathe. It is called the Great Smoky Mountains. I don't know a lot about that, but it's called Smoky in the fucking name. Visitors may be greeted by signs advising them against hiking if they have respiratory problems. Should companies be required to clean up the air pollution they generate that affects the air inside the park boundaries? I'm starting to feel like these questions are a little skewed. Should people be required to clean up smoke? I guess so. What are they doing in there? What companies are in there? I don't understand. Why did you let them open a toothpick factory in the Great Smoky Mountain? 13 national park units are currently open for drilling for oil and gas. Oh, nice. Bringing oil rigs and heavy trucks into areas like Padre Island National Seashore and other parks, which are havens for endangered species. Do you think private corporations should be entitled to extract resources from our national parks for their own profit? I thought that was like the whole point of the national park. Fuck off. Like, we don't do that here. Do it somewhere else. And preserve that zone? Is that not... Or is oil and gas drilling just become such a part of our lifestyle that we just figure, well, this is the most accurate representation. What's going on? This is news to me, and I'm not happy about it. I mean, so no to that? Yes? The Park Service is debating whether to continue to allow the use of snowmobiles and all-terrain vehicles in some parks. Motorized misuse can keep visitors from enjoying the peace and natural sounds of the parks, cause air and water pollution, frighten park wildlife, and destroy land. What do you believe? I mean, I'm not a big fan of the snowmobile. I feel like the snowmobile is the jet ski of nature. You know, we got the jet ski. Jet ski is for screwing around, right? I mean, there's no such thing as a jet ski that's for... science or something. Is there any kind of like cop jet ski or a jet ski that's being used for, I don't know, is anyone commuting to work on a jet ski or something like that? Someone's doing some welder works with a jet ski on an oil rig. I mean, jet ski seems to be for screwing around when you're drunk, and I think snowmobile is the same. I don't think that it's necessary. Furthermore, I think that eliminating snowmobiles and jet skis would alleviate some of the world's economic problems, the United States' economic problems. I don't feel like the people who buy those, the people who are attracted to those vehicles, need to be spending their money in other ways. Believe me, I don't think that they are saying, once I get this student loan paid off, I'm buying a fucking jet ski. These are not crossover audiences, believe me. That's the survey. We did it. Oh, and would I like to donate? Yes, I'll gladly share. You can check the box, and it says it's got different gift levels, 15, 20, 25, 50, and 100, and 25 is circled, and it says your gift at this level will really help. And I would get a fleece blanket. Okay. A fleece blanket that's probably the size of a restaurant napkin or something like that. What a wonderful gift. Well, I think we did it today, guys. We saved the environment. I have a lot of questions about genes that remain unanswered, but maybe someone will answer in the meantime. Stay tuned. We've got, I'm going to go to a 9/11 themed breakfast place, I think. I've got some important would you rather type questions to answer. All kinds of good stuff. We have plenty of good shows coming up. We've got some writing assessments that we need to discuss. So much to keep us going through these tough times. these tough economic times. So tough times for our environment too. We'll see you next time. We'll buy you shiny little things. Some of my own.